Right. Good morning. Welcome to day three of the FTS Cheltenham brunch. I hope you've all got your croissants, toast and things. Some of us are too busy for all that. Morning, Andy. How are you?
Morning. Yeah, I'm in good form. Good feckle. I've had me... I didn't have Weetabix this morning. I had shreddies with fresh fruit this morning, which was very good.
Nice.
There you go.
Morning, Joseph. Morning, Bjorn. Morning, Crush It With Ian. Morning, Wes. Morning, Derek. Morning, Andy, Sam, Barry. On the machine and Declan Carr. Morning all to you. Do feel free to ask questions, chat away. Day three, we move on to the new course. It's a wheelbarrow job for me today because I'm a bit of a specialist on this one, Andy. The old new course. Right, okay. Yeah. The old one doesn't suit me well. The new one, I'm right at there.
You like a stiffer test of stamina, do you?
Yeah. Morning, Nitesh, Dave, Rob, Lonesome Star. Right, let's go through tomorrow. I didn't see the first race, so we don't need to cover that one. So we'll just go straight to the 2:10. We don't need to cover that first one.
You didn't see the Irish 1-2-3 with. Actually, I'm just checking the back of my telly. Oh, what? Shit, look, there's Hermes Allen. I've just found him.
Yeah, well, yeah, I've got nothing. I genuinely didn't see it, but I've got nothing.
Genuinely, and I'm on record of saying this before, so I'm not half the time, but I genuinely cannot work out how that went off favourite. Genuinely. The market on, I think Peter Webb put some screenshots of the markets up, and I genuinely cannot believe that had to be favourite. I can't quite say I was balls deep laying it, but I did lay it for a good few quid and had the Irish 1-2-3. It was a good start to the day. Hope a few people followed in, but GB novices are Jesus.
Yeah, I've had it handed to me. I've got nothing. How was it impressive, the winner? I see it won by 6.5 lengths. Was it impressive?
Yeah, time was really good. If you look at the two horses it beat, I mean, Gaelic Warrior's no mug at all. And Pira, I'll tell you what did impress me most with it is his jumping. Really slick, fluent, clean jumping. I mean, if they keep Constitution Hill for the champion hurdle next year and they step this up, and you know, record of supreme. Apart from Constitution Hill this year, the record of horses coming from the Supreme going into the Champion Hurdle isn't great, but at least it'll give it something to think about. I think that's the way they'll go. Where they go with Constitution Hill, I've got no idea. I've heard it's going to Liverpool next, so if you're anywhere near and you've got a chance to go and see it, then I certainly would. But
there you go, Sam Cassidy, get yourself down to Aintree,
yeah,
son.
But Imperial Pass, yeah, certainly very good. Irish 1-2-3, I think it was Irish 1-2-3-4, wasn't it?
Just before we go on, because you all know, I don't know, what's the score in the old Prestbury Cup?
10-4,
is it?
Oh, I'm right, heading so towards the right way. I could do with a couple of Brit wins today, just to sort of bring them back a bit, because it's St. Paddy's Day tomorrow, and having had a look, I can see a 7-0 coming.
I'll give you a couple later. Britain wins. And then the next race, the real whacker. Yes, we get one over the line. I was not going to lie. I was sucking in every breath I had. Jerry Colomb looked to be miles out of it, turning for home, but finished like a flipping train up the hill. I don't know. It was a combination of the whacker slowing down and Colomb picking up, but I was sucking in.
The real whacker, I thought, I mean, it was pleased. Sam Twiston Davis, one of the nicest riders you'll ever meet. Lovely fella. Met him on loads of occasions. Really nice guy. Pleased to see him win. Lovely to see Patrick Neville, although he's an Irish trainer, just train up north now. The real whacker, he jumps so well. You will not see a better round of jumping than that around Cheltenham. And that what won in the race. I thought the interview afterwards with Sam was really interesting. And credit to a lady I've worked with on several occasions, Lydia Hisbert. Her post-race interviews are superb. I wouldn't want to lose her from RTV, but, I mean, she knocked some of the people on terrestrial TV into an absolute cocked hat. One of the best interviewers, male, female, anything out there. Brilliant. Gets so much out of people. Brilliant interview afterwards with all the connections. They're all in red and white. Hope that's a good omen for later in the year. But no, the real whacker. I mean, he was good. And the race itself, yeah, an interesting one to watch. Time Hill, no surprise it blew out. So Gerhard just can't jump.
It was terrible, wasn't it? Terrible first three quarters of the race.
Yeah, I mean, he looked like he was going to get into it and just didn't. Jerry Colomb, I still think he's a decent horse. He just got a bit outpaced. I think if they'd have run the race, if they'd have run this race on this course today, then I certainly wouldn't write him off. But the real whacker, I mean, they might give him a go in the Gold Cup last year, but he was brilliant. I thought it was
And a lovely, obviously a good ride by Daryl Jacob in third on the big outsider at 15-1. Oh, lovely.
Yeah,
lovely to see him. I know
a few people who quite fancied that and were on at big prices each way. So props to them.
But lovely to see him afterwards. Congratulate Twister.
Oh, yeah, I think that's been, that happens yeah. all the
time. Yeah, really nice.
Move on. Coral Cup.
Coral Cup. I mean, I've seen hints of alleged cheating for Langer down here. I don't know your views on it. I actually thought at one stage Campron was going to win it. I'll be honest, I was getting a little bit excited again. Obviously, you mentioned Epic Song, which ran very well, obviously, to get second. Captain Combi, not really. What do you make of the winner? Cheating.
Well, he deserves to win a race at the festival because they target him this race the last couple of years. The Martin Pike, they targeted him at twice. They ran into Galliard de Menil, who's now favourite the Gold Cup, on the first occasion. Last year, he got brought down at the first, very unluckily. You could call it whatever you like. I won't use the C word. I think they've got... The Skeltons are, or Dan Skelton, is one of the best target trainers in the country, and he targets races. And they've done well to get this horse back down to the mark. It was off. I thought, for once, Harry Skelton gave him a very, very good ride. Didn't go too early, which was a slight criticism on Campron, who ran well in this race last year. An epic song. What has dear old Martin Brazil done this week? What's he done wrong to the punting gods this week? Because he had Fast and Slow, second in the Ultima, and an epic song second in this. I mean, again, he's done well to target this. I think you could level the comment that there's been a few horses who might not have been run allegedly totally on their merits aiming at races like this to probably about half the field. Good old Langer Dan, he unfortunately bust me bet on the Irish to win all five handicap hurdles. I seemed to be destined to get 4 out of 5 up there, but it was a good performance. Typical Cheltenham handicap. I think there's a few in behind when I write the race up, that there will be a few in behind that ran good race. I thought Nell's Son ran a particularly good race. The going went against Run for Oscar. Few disappointments in the race, but I think it was overall decent enough race.
And then on to the Champion Chase. My final words on that race yesterday was, I think the defending champion will prevail. Wasn't it impressive? I thought it was absolutely super impressive.
Yeah, I mean, you could argue that Edwardson didn't really perform. I thought it was total bollocks, and people were saying he doesn't go on the ground, because he does. If you only got to look at his form to see that he does. He just never looked happy from an early stage. Editor de G probably had to have everything fall into place like it did last time, and he didn't on this occasion. Captain Guinness ran well above himself. Take nothing away from Energamine, who I understand the owner had a massive bet on, and he probably had Brighton won last night as well.
Brighton beat Palace. I was just going to say that, Tony Bloom. I heard pre-race that he'd had 100 grand on.
Yeah, well, he's a well-known big, I mean, very, very clever man.
Morning, Lee.
Yeah, very, very clever man. With his, this football betting, etc., and what he's done at Brighton as well with the sort of metrics he uses there. It's a bit sort of money ball stuff that is similar to the guy at Brentford used. But judging by the way those two teams have worked, it's worked well. And I couldn't argue. Few people will try and crab the performance because a few of them ran below form, but I still think it was a smashing performance. I think the key to it was that he was ridden a little bit closer to the pace, and that suits.
I mean, I'm obviously not as versed in racing as you. I just thought it was super impressive.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, I mean that's the key to him. I think last time when behind Eddie Tadjic, they tried to do something different, and it didn't quite work out. And he's much happier being ridden up on the pace than he was this time, and that was it. Fantastic.
And then the cross country, Deal to Work won again. I don't think there was any major surprise there. Backed into 11-10 before the off. Good finish, wasn't it? A good finish with Galvin up the hill.
Yeah.
Galvin actually looked like he pegged him at the last, but then I never personally thought that Delta Work wasn't going to win that.
No, I mean, it ran well. Snow Leopardess ran okay for a long way. I'm not sure she's totally in love with the game. There was loads of disappointment, I suppose, amongst the others. I thought back in third, Franco Deport didn't run a bad race as a trial for the National. Wasn't a bad race. I wouldn't totally write him off, but I say the front two, who are both going for the National next, both ran smashing trials for that. If anything, the ground probably just tilted it in the favour of Delta Work. I think he's a little bit of experience around there, tilted it in his favour as well. But beyond that, it was a pretty... I kept trying to work out how far they had to go. That's always the problem, and what they got left to jump, but it was a typical finish. And it used to be Ender Bulger who had this race by the absolute short and curlies. It's now Gordon Elliott, who absolutely loves the race. He's dominated the race. And to be quite honest with you, unless something comes on the scene, you could see these two dominating the race for the next few years.
Yeah, I think that's what they said afterwards, wasn't it? Yeah. And then I didn't see the 450 or the 530. Mascara, a big win, big price winner, 22-1 in the 450, beating your Dino Blue.
Yeah,
which probably hurt.
That was probably the right. I mean, they went along terrific pace. Global Citizen, the winner last year, did the same again this year. Followed close up by Dino Blue. I think you needed to be pretty much on the pace there. I've got to go back and watch the race because there was a few that were held up. I think were a little bit inconvenienced. Andy Dufresne tried to get into it, but he didn't look. He didn't find as much as I thought he would. His application under pressure was a bit disappointing, as was Curse Sublime, but the portents were there for that. The well handicapped size in Potsy never went a yard. I think a few of them struggled to keep up with the pace. Mascara, probably, something I've hit on today in today's text is the De Bromhead yard. They've had an awful season, and obviously with the death of his son, didn't really help either. But the horses have been out of form, but I think they're just really starting to blossom now. And there's a few of his today that are quite interesting when we go through the card. And Mascara used to run over here, goodbye by the owners they bought her to breed from, but she really forged clear. I'm not sure. Dino Blue made errors at the last two. I'm not sure that it made a lot of difference. I got a bit out of it just on the trading angle, partly because we backed her a few weeks ago. And that was about, I thought Epsom de Hou ran a reasonable race as well, but the winner was good. But I think the Bromhead horses, I think keep an eye on those today.
Okay, well, I think I've got a couple in mind. I haven't looked at your card this morning because I haven't had a chance yet, but be interesting to see what we come up with. And then in the final race, I think Dan Lyons, I haven't seen him in there this morning, but I think Dan Lyons, this is the one he mentioned in yesterday morning, A Dream to Share. I got good word in the afternoon for Factor File, so I did have a little bet on that in the afternoon and see it got beat, obviously. But yeah, I didn't see the race, so I've no idea what went on.
Kid gave it a good ride, actually, John Gleeson. He's only 18. I understand he's doing his leaving certificate in Ireland. A good story, because John Kiley, this was his first Cheltenham winner. I think he's 84, first winner he's trained, although he did have a fair hand in training the 93 Stayers Hurdle winner, a horse called Shula Rye. His brother is actually officially down as training that. But I thought the young John Gleeson gave this a terrific ride, took the wide route, didn't get involved in any trouble. Good of the owner, who is JP McManus, to keep the kid on it. I mean, it was his first ride at Cheltenham, first winner. What a story, fantastic story for him. Factor File ran well. The one thing I would say is that, if you keep an eye on this form for the following year in terms of novice hurdles, there's usually produces lots and lots of winners. It looked a good bumper. For once, we actually got an English horse or a GB horse in the first three, which wasn't surprising. And even Mullins, even with 10 in the race, he still couldn't win it.
Dan was on Dream to Share Heavy. So if you're anywhere near Dan, drinks all round. Well done, Dan. Did mention it in here yesterday. I'd say I've got good memory, Dan. Completely ignored it.
If you do get a chance, there was a wonderful interview with John Kiley afterwards, again by Lydia Hislop afterwards. I'm sure there's clips of it on the RTV site as well. It's well worth 4 or 5 minutes of your time.
I'll actually back up your views on Lydia Hislop. About 15 years ago, I sat next to her on a plane to Vegas.
Did you?
Yeah, she's absolutely lovely.
I was fortunate enough to work with her on a few occasions, and I have nothing but the highest praise. A lovely person, B, knows racing inside out, and C, just an absolute pleasure to work with.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, about 15 years ago. Got on, and that's who was in the seat next to me. Right, so on to day three. As I say, the new course. This is it. This is wheelbarrow day for me today. This is it.
Got the barrow out.
Right, we start with the 130, 2 mile, 4 furlong novice chase. I'd actually had two in this, but one's been pulled out. Banbridge has been pulled out since I've done
not
this.
Not surprised, really.
So that's obviously changed the market since I did this. So Mighty Potter is now odds on 1.8. Obviously a hot favourite, clearly a good horse, open to improvement, has never won here. I was taking it on with Banbridge, but I'm also taking it on with Appreciate It, who is the second favourite. It was 4.2 this morning when I backed it, but obviously I'll be subject to a reduction. Only 9 years old. 9 years old, but it's only had 12 runs. Fantastic festival form. For me, sort of at the time, evens versus 3-1. I'm taking Appreciate It to beat Mighty Potter today.
Well, it'll be interesting to see which Mighty Potter turns up, because he didn't have a great time of it last year when he ran here in the Supreme, because he pulled like a train in the race. He knocked all the rails over before the race. He's clearly got himself a bit stirred up, and he made a load of mistakes in the Supreme, which was run at a helter-skelter gallop. If you take him on form this year, then he should win this. But there's that slight doubt in your mind. Don't be surprised to see him wearing a red hood before the start, just to keep him calm. Originally, I thought Banbridge, when he was in the race, I've written this in the write-up, then I thought he might have had a chance of turning him over, to be honest with you. I'd be very interested in him on better ground if they take him to Aintree, so keep an eye on him. Most of the others, apart from Appreciate It, I couldn't really give almost a chance to. For me, it's a race I'm happy to sit and watch. I don't really have a strong view on it. Outside of the front two, I couldn't really see Stage Star or Balco Coastal winning this. James de Burleigh, you would give a chance on his first run, but not on his second run. And why they're not running Not Long Till Main a handicap, I've got no idea. Terrible bit of placing.
I've had a bullseye on Appreciated at 4.2 to get the old wagons rolling.
I should cheer it home for you, but I won't.
I'm going through the card today. I'm going through the card. You could put all these in a acca. We're going through the card, son, the sevenfold. The 210, 23 runners. I think we've had a bit of clever placement here for the favourite as well, with Thanks for the Help. Looks to have a lot in its favour.
You could say that.
Looks to have a lot in its favour and must have a big chance. And I'm not normally a fan of backing favourites in these sort of races, but I have had to back that, just given that everything is thrown at it in that way. And I've had a mention of John Joe O'Neill Jr.'s horse. I think they give me these just to get me with the pronunciation. Entire. So yeah. I have had £40 win on Thanks for the Help at 5.4. And I've had £25 win on Entire at 15 and £25 place at 3.8, given there's four places. I don't know what your views are, whether you've got anything better than that.
There's three races today where there's three favourites, all in the handicaps, in fact, where you sort of look at it and you think, do I want to back them or do I want to lay them? And you almost edge towards, I'd probably be using them all as sort of saver type things because I don't really want to lay them. And I can make a pretty good case for all of them. They would be thanks for your help, it's called, isn't it? Stumptown in the last and So Scottish in the play. So I wouldn't put anyone off sticking those in a sort of each way trebles and doubles with the extended places if you can get on at the bookmakers, because you might get a bit of fun out of that. Personally, I mean, coming into last year, the Irish had won the last six renewals, and this was the race that spoilt me clean sweep of handicap hurdles for the Irish last year when Huey Morrison's Third Wind swept by. And the home team actually did pretty well in this race last year. And they might do this year. There are one or two. The change, I've written about this in the blurb today, the sort of change in the entry qualifications. There's a couple of the home team that are quite light. One of is a Henderson. Well, there's two Henderson horses in here which are quite interesting. One is Walking on Air, who won the Exeter qualifier in pretty decent fashion. I think they know they've got it well handicapped off a mark of 138. And the other one is that one who was third in the race last year, Mill Green. Now, he's 11, and I sort of put him down as a lively outsider. And the other GB horse is a horse who's been quite well backed, Mocha Devassi. I'd give all that group a chance. The Irish have obviously got a chance. Elliot loves this race. He's got a very good record in it. He's got four in it, headed by Maxim, with Salvador Ziggy, the boss's Oscar, and Love Never Ending in first time blinkers also running. The one Irish runner I fancy is Good Time Johnny for Tony Martin. I think he might have been plotted up for this. So I have backed Good Time Johnny and Walking on Air at double figure prices, and I'm going to throw a couple of darts at Mill Green and Mocha Devassi, who I think is probably still a little bit overpriced, like all the handicaps. It's not one I'm going to play heavily in, but I think those have got a chance. And as I say, the favourite, if you are going to play those three favourites today that I've mentioned, then I wouldn't put anyone off you could see all three of them win. I'm not saying I'd back them singly, but in an each way multiple, I might just have a bit of a chance on them.
I think I've got all those, I think, but we'll get to those races later. Yeah. Right, the 250 then. Obviously, see Shishkin, short price, 2.14. Obviously, got a massive chance. It is too short for me, and given its sort of patchy past and problems, I'm willing to take it on with a few at prices in case it does have the blowout. So I like, well, I don't like, I'm just taking it on, really. I mean, it's one of these where you could perhaps do one of your later backs. If people wanted to take it on. But Envoy Allen obviously loves it here, probably never quite lived up to its full potential. Mm. Fury Road, who's solid horse, if unspectacular, finished behind Galopin Duchamp's in Dublin. And French Dynamite, who has reasonable form here at decent prices. So I have got Envoy Allen, £30 win at 12.5, £30 place 2.98. Fury Road, I'm just checking the price to what I got, £20 win at 14, it's now 12.5, play £20 place 2.96. And French Dynamite, £20 win at 30, it's still 30, £20 place at 4.8. I suppose over to you, Andy. Does Shishkin win? And have I done my money before I start?
Well, if the real, in the words of Eminem, if the real Slim Shady, or in this case, the real Shishkin turns up, he wins. But there is a but. And I suppose the but is, I mean, he's rated 174. He's the best horse in the race when he's on song. And that's the problem, isn't it? So you've got a horse here who has had physical problems in the past. It's a relatively quick turnaround from what was probably one of his best performances last time out, and he has had some physical issues which have all been well documented. Now Nicky Henderson, for all people take the piss a little bit, is a brilliant trainer, and there is nobody better at getting horses back than he is. I've taken the other route, and I've taken Shiskin out of the equation and looked in the without favourite market, which I think is the way to go here. French Dynamite is a horse I really like. He ran a massive race here earlier in the year behind when he just got touched off by GA Law or Garlaw, whichever way you want to say it, in a big handicap. And I've followed his form ever since then. I was hoping they'd run him in another big handicap, but he's one of those horses where he's sort of in between handicaps and graded races now. I think he's probably just a little bit outclassed him, and I'd prefer him on a sounder surface. I was hoping they'd save him for a race at Liverpool. The two that I quite like against Shiskin in the without favourite market, Fury Road, yes. I think this is an ideal trip for him. He's solid but unspectacular. And Janadil, who was second in this last year. And I'll back both of those in the without favourite market if I can get the right prices, which I have detailed in the blurb today. If the real Shiskin turns up, he wins easily. I can't quite be certain, so I'll bottle out, have a look in the without favourite market, and I think Janadil and Fury Road are the two that I would back in that market.
I might get an Alan across the line. Yeah, you don't know, son. Envoy Alan. See, I missed it.
With the Bromhead form, then I wouldn't argue against that. I think if you take Shiskin out of the main race, then you've got a very interesting race amongst all. You can make a case for nearly everything else in the field without Shiskin as much as you can.
I've just got a feeling Shishkin's not going to turn up. I've just got a feeling that this one's
going to
be one.
Yeah. I think the easier way is to take him out of the equation.
And obviously, again, I normally say at the start, if you do follow anything certainly if you follow anything of mine, that is fully at your own peril. And obviously, if you follow the more knowledgeable Mr. Richmond, it's still at your own peril. Right, and then we get to the Stayers Hurdle, 3:30. Looks for me, and I might be wrong, but just looks for me a lot more open than a lot of the Stayers races of the last few years. Florin Porter, fourth in the betting, going for three in a row. I quite like the price. I'm not madly keen on T Hoopoo, the favourite. I had word this morning for Gold Tweet. Don't know much about the horse. I've had strong word for the second favourite, Blazing Cow. But obviously you get to the road where you can't back them all, but it does look really competitive this year. I think I also had a text mentioning Classical Dream as well this morning. So I've sort of had the second to fifth in the betting mentioned to me. So I'm going with two of them. I have had really good word for Blazing Cow. So I'm having £60 win on Blazing Cow. I got 5.7. He's currently 5.5. And I'm going to have 25 quid I've had on Florin Porter to complete the hat trick at 7.8. So I've gone win only those two. There we go.
Well, it's a race that has had several anti-post favourites and almost most, and I think you probably argue that most of the principals here rock up with doubts about them and about their chance within the race. If you look at Florin Porter, I mean, he's won it on the last two occasions, and there are two very, under two very good front running riders, and Danny Mullins, who gets on with the horse superbly well. In fact, Ruby Walsh, who's probably, is the best post-race analyzer of anyone out there, has done some very good work on sort of unpicking those rides, which has been superb. I think you can still find that. Can he do the same again? Yes, he can. Is he in the same form as last year? I'm not quite sure. Blazing Cow has been the subject of will he run or won't he run? Turned up, won the Boyne Hurdle last time out. He could bounce after that run. I respect his chance, but at the price, I'd probably rather watch than play. Tia Poo is now favourite. The ground certainly come right for him. He used to be trained by the guy who now trains Gold Tweet before he went to Gordon Elliott's. Tia Poo's probably got the best form in the race. I just think he's a little bit short now. given, but he does like the, you know, he will like the going. The going's come right for him. Classical Dream is another who's had his problems. You could throw him in the mix on his fourth last year, but does he truly get home around this course? I'm not completely sure. The wild card is Gold Tweet, who's been supplemented into this after winning what has been the traditionally the best guide, the Cleve Hurdle. As I say, his trainer used to train Tiapu as well. Comparing the two, he's been reported that he said that the speedier type is Gold Tweet. So does Gold Tweet truly stay? Home by the Lee looks a bit of a better horse this year, but he has got his quirks. I'm not sure about him. I'm as confused as I think I've ever been with a race than this. Florin Porter, given his front-running nature, holds some trading scope if you can get in at around 8-1. I do respect both Tiapu and Blazing Cal, but neither appeal at the prices. As another trading option, Classical Dream's probably the one that interests me. I might just have a small play on him to trade. He's a talented horse. He goes well when he's fresh. His run style suggests that he could, you know, come there cantering. I'm not completely convinced to get about him getting home, but if you're trading, you don't need to get him holding the stay. And yes, Dan, I do respect your opinion on Home by the Lee. He does stay all day, but I don't know, either wins or blows out for me in this. It's not a race I want to get, it's not a race I want to get heavily involved with. I'll probably trade Florin Porter and have a small play on Classical Dream.
Okay, so I've been told to paddle my own canoe. I'm just a judge of good judges, Matt. That's why I have people like Andy on. Right, we get to the 410, which is the next big handicap. And like you say, so Scottish, like you said earlier when you mentioned the three. It looks very well in the same stable, won this with the shunter 2 years ago. Getting it in off 140 a couple of years back, got this one in at 143. It looks well in. I don't have much else against it other than the second favourite, Haute en Couleurs. As they're both half decent prices, I've backed both those. So I've had £30 win on Sir Scottish, £7.2, £30 place at 2.38, and 25 win. Haute en Couleurs, I got 7.4. It has gone out to 8 now, and £25 place at 2.54. So I'm sticking with the top two.
Right. This used to be billed as one of the hardest handicaps to solve of the week, but four of the last five winners have been priced at 5-1 or shorter, so hasn't really had that lived up to its billing of late. Emmett Mullins has obviously got history with this, with the shunter 2 years ago. This looks to be as almost sort of carbon copy job with So Scottish. They ran it over 2 miles in the autumn, stuck it away. They actually appealed these marks to the handicapper and got a pound off. So if it's a tight finish, that might make a difference. The one slight knock is that he's got no big field handicap form, and there are plenty in this lineup that do. There's a host of horses I could mention, Old Foes, Il Redotto and Fugitive. They lock horns again. They've got a chance on their earlier Cheltenham form. Ferrero Bamboo's another one who looks likely to be suited by a step up in trip. I quite like the second favourite, Haute en Couleurs. Now, I know he's top weight. He's obviously got the flavour of the month and a very good rider in Michael O'Sullivan taking the weight, the £3 off, which is very good value. In terms of class, I mean, he could just outclass these. If you look at his back form, it's surprising they didn't run him in something, you know, in one of the novice races. The slight knock is that the Mullins drought in festival handicap chases continues. He's got to win one soon. 7-1, I saw, isn't the most exciting price, but I certainly want to keep him on side. And a couple of the others are kept on side. One I'll probably back in run is That's All Right Gino. Ran a nice race last time out. He does take a while to get going, so I tend to back him. I tend to back him a little bit more in running at slightly bigger odds. And the other Irish runner I've got a little bit of a fancy for is the Bromhead horse, Marvel de Cerisi, who ran a nice race last time out. And goes handicapping now. It's got a little bit of potential. I just think that that yard are worth keeping an eye on. Not an easy race. As I say, I think I've banged the three obvious handicap ones in a small multiple today, just in case they all come off. I wouldn't back them in singles, apart from using them as savers. And in this race, I've backed Horton Colours. I'll back That's All Right Gino in running. And Marvel Cerisi, I think he's interesting. If you get 25-1 plus with the stable in Rude Health, I think that one's quite interesting.
Marvel de Cerisi, 14.5 on the exchange currently.
Yeah, come right in.
On that's all right, Gino, when you say you back it running, anything you'd want to see in running? Like, would you want to just let it get settled and see that it's...
The fact is, it just takes a little while. It takes a little while to warm up. If you think Sir Gerhardt's run yesterday, but slightly better than that, then I think you're on the thing. It can be a little bit sticky in... I've seen Marvel's been well backed. Yeah,
it's been half in price overnight.
Yeah, it doesn't surprise me at all. Yeah,
he was down the poach.
Yeah, going back to That's All Right. Yeah, it's just one of those. I think there's a little bit. It just takes a little bit of a while to get going. A bit like Spurs in the second half.
Right. On that note, on to the 450.
A bigger price, get going in the second half.
On the 450, 2 mile 1 furlong, greatest hurdle, 21 runners, another easy one. We have a favourite here. It was 3.2 when I looked this morning. It's 3.1 now. Lucia. I had a look at the form of this morning. Big Palace Boy, albeit by 11 lengths, but Palace Boy was last in the Supreme on Tuesday at 200-1. I've just got to feel I've got to take this on today. So this is another one that, again, maybe you back lay it and then back it back in play. More for you, Andy, to let us know how this one's likely to get on. But I have taken some on against it. This is the race that is named after Jack de Bromhead for... what's happened, obviously, the tragedy that's happened in the last 12 months. And Henry de Bromhead has 5 in it. So I have got a couple of his for the fairy tale and one of Mullins. I'll probably end up with the tri-cast here. I do think it's the favourite of the week to take on, Dan said. So I've backed Lots of Joy. I backed it at 7.8 into 6.4. £25 win at 7.8. £25 place, 2.8, 3 places. I've backed Foxy Girl, £20 win at 13. That's now 14.5. £20 place at 3.85. And I've backed Magical Zoe, £20 win at 9, still holding at 9. And £20 place, 3.25. That's the 3 I've got. The favourite gets done. Or does it, Andrew?
We're of similar mind on this.
Oh, I like it. Good.
Because Lucia, she's been impressive in her races, but 2-1 or thereabouts. I think I made her a bit bigger than that in my tissue. Doesn't really appeal. The race has had a shock in the past. There's been a 50-1 winner in this. There is a lot of dead wood in this, but is she really a sort of 2-1, 9-4 chance? Probably not. I'd rather be a layer than a backer, but rather than just layer, I'm going to back a few against her. Lot of Joy would be one of them. Lot of big field flat experience. She was 3rd in an Irish Zarowicz, odds on scorer by 12 lengths in a pot hunting race last time out, but she should have the class for a test such as this. I had to back one of the Bromhead horses, and I've come down on the side of Magical Zoe. If it comes up really soft, the... Elliot horse, Hacker du Tauber is one that comes into the equation. She needs a real test of stamina. She was beaten by Astro Diamond, who would have been well fancied for this had she not had a setback in a race that's been the best guide to this, a race called the Solarina. She set too slow a gallop that day, and she needs a real test of stamina. If you're looking for a couple of darts in this, 4-year-olds haven't won this. And a lot of people have spots trotted out, 4-year-olds haven't won this, but there's been hardly any running it. They get a massive weight allowance, which I don't think people have spotted and exploited yet. And they get £15 it is off the older horses. So there's very few running this, and under control, the sort of second string of the Henderson yard is pretty interested in this. Could be anything, cliche time, but has hacked up at Newbury. I've backed her, and one real dart is a horse called Mullenbeg, who pulls like an absolute train. But ran a really good race in a grade two at Kempton last time out. I cannot make her. I couldn't see her. She was 100-1 plus. But that is a real minuscule dart. But the main three would be Lot of Joy, Magical Zoe, and Halkett de Tabert to almost sort of take on the favourite.
Okay, we agree on two there. I've got Foxy Girl where you've got Hacker. Okay, best of luck. And then we get to the lucky last. And by now, we are overflowing. The other big handicap to finish, 3 mile 2 furlongs, 24 selections. You mentioned it earlier as the third one. I have backed Stumptown. It's amateur riders, but I've been told that this guy's pretty capable. Mr. B. O'Neill. Again, Andy, I'll seek your confirmation on that.
So, yeah, he is good.
So I've backed Stumptown, £30 win at 6.4 and £30 place at 2.24. And the other one I'm on in this, again, I've been told the jockey's pretty capable, has drifted a bit. I've backed Beauport, £30 win at 11.5. It is now 12.5 and £20 place at 3.35, but one I genuinely know next to nothing about here.
Right. So go back to earlier comments. This is one of the three sort of handicap favourites today, or the favourite, all would you be, I wouldn't feel comfortable laying them. You could put little knocks in against them. Stumptown would be one that he won in impressive fashion at Sandown against a relatively poor field. All of his best form has come right-handed and his two worst runs have come left-handed. That's a slight knock against him. Was he the same horse then? Probably not. So you would want to keep him on side in some small way. It's a bit like what we did with in that last race the other day, where, you know, he's basically winning you a cup of tea if he wins. Keep him on side. If you want something at bigger prices, I wouldn't trust Jamie Codd is undoubtedly one of the best riders in this race, but I wouldn't trust Dunboyne as far as I could throw him. It depends which side of the stable he's got out. Mr. Incredible. Looks to have turned over a new leaf in the Mullins yard, and he ran really well at Warwick last time out. The stiffer test of stamina, you know, the quicker they go. He's one. Do not, if you're looking to trying to lay something at big prices in running and he trades a big price, I wouldn't take the chance, because he's one of those that can look under pressure and suddenly he will engage fast forward, and you could be wanting to change your underpants very quickly. Beauport, I think, is the best of the Brits. He won a race called the Colin Parker the first time he ran over fences at Carlisle, which takes some doing. They've run him over a trip too short last time out in a race to get him a mark behind the Brown Advisory winner, the Real Whacker. This is the first time he's run over a trip such as this since he ran over hurdles at Aintree, where he ran really well. So he's definitely one for the shortlist. Angel's Dawn was going well at Punchestown in a Grand National trial last time out when she unseated. I really don't think she'd been asked for an effort. And there's another De Bromhead handicapper in here that I like, a horse called Royal Thief, who went a little bit under the radar, as his jockey is a little bit under the radar. He's a pretty good rider, this lad. I think he's pretty capable at around 16-1. A few others that you might just want to keep an eye on. A Rapper has got good course form, will relish this trip. And a Knight in Lambourne likes this track. I'm not so sure that the going hasn't gone against this one. But to sum up, I respect the claims of Stumptown. And I say I've put Stumptown, thanks for their help, and So Scottish in a sort of each way multiple with extended places. Not too much money. It's just a bit of an interest bet. And I wouldn't put anyone off saving the stakes in this. But if you're looking for something a little bolder, Beauport, Royal Thief, Angel's Dawn are all worth backing. The prices they are at the moment.
And that wire has told us that Didero Vallis, which is
It's a Venetia horse who's stable's not in the greatest of form at the moment, but has run well in this race last year. Yeah, I think he did. third in this last year, if my memory serves me correctly. But it's an interesting day, but a tough day.
Yeah, and as always, I will put my bets up on the FTS website. I will post the audio of this for those people who obviously this not want, but if anybody wants to catch up and hear what was said, particularly by more by Andy than me. I have got one final one. 8 o'clock at the Emirates tonight, SP Lisbon, trained by Ruben Amorim, piloted by Marcus Edwards, speedy type who's perfectly capable of getting the job done against mediocre opposition. Fill your boots, I say. Fill your boots.
Well, that mediocre opposition who are top of the Premier League.
And this is where you are in May is all that matters. Andy, as always, thank you ever so much for doing this every day of the week, coming on with your knowledge. Everybody else, obviously, yeah, thank you for tuning in and watching. And I will see you all. We'll see you all tomorrow morning for the final day, Gold Cup Day. But have a great day today, Andy. Hope your trading goes well. Everybody else, whatever you do, obviously, I hope you're all profitable. Enjoy the racing. And we'll be back with you all tomorrow. Cheers.